G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, the nation is still reeling from the mass knife attack in Bondi Junction this past weekend and the terror-related incident where Bishop Murray Emmanuel was centre of an allegedly religious-motivated stabbing attack on Monday night. And there are lots of dimensions to talk about in both of these incidents. Christian social commentator David Robertson is back with us. He's also these days minister of Scots Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle, New South Wales. His latest article about these incidents is published in Christian Today. David, a special welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. I have to confess, you took me by surprise because of the clock change. So I'm glad I was beside my my phone. But yeah, good to have you back as well. Hope you had a good break.
Thank you very much. Hey, David, these two incidents, you're calling them back-to-back tragedies. They certainly are. Have you got an overview of the things that have been unfolding this week?
Yeah, I think with the first one, what struck me was one of the dangers we have in our culture is the instant reaction and rush to judgment. You know, so that people were saying things like, you know, it was an Islamist attack and so on, which it could well have been. I mean, these have happened all over the place, but it wasn't. And that it was very wrong to rush to that kind of judgment. But equally, the poor Jewish student who was, when I got up on Sunday morning, my Twitter feed was bombarded with people saying, we told you it was Jewish terrorism and it was a Jewish student. And I thought, no, that's absolute rubbish. And then I saw it was he was named on a TV station, and that TV station is now in trouble because they're being sued, understandably so, I think. So I think there was that. There's a kind of the reaction. And then the other thing, that the one with Bishop Emmanuel, who, by the way, I'm one of the people who listens to him. I find him a fascinating character. He's got 250,000 YouTube, you know. I mean, that's the thing. This was carried out on YouTube. And it's fascinating. The Australian government has now ordered that this be taken down on YouTube and on Twitter, the videos. And I didn't see any particular reason to keep them or to leave them up there. But again, it's the reaction that has got to me, that there's almost an attempt to say, well, this was an Islamist attack. There's no question it was an Islamist attack. And the poor kid, I love what the bishop said, by the way, today, that he said he forgave him and he called him his brother, which I just thought was lovely. But it's almost, the reaction in the media is a little bit different. So there are a number of articles saying, well, this bishop is an extremist. He's against gay marriage, and almost like he deserved it. And that, they don't say that, but why do they report all that stuff? And also equally fascinating for me is, you remember a number of months ago, we had riots on the steps of the Sydney Opera House with people chanting, kill the Jews and so on. And not one person was arrested. And there were riots outside the bishop's church, sadly, as the local community reacted to his stabbing, a Syrian community. And the government promised immediately we will catch and arrest every single one. And I think they've arrested one person already. And it seems to me that there's a imbalance here. No arrests from the anti-Israel riot, and an absolute certainty we're going to arrest these people who rioted in this. So there's a lot of community issues. There are issues about communication. There are issues about who we are. There are issues about mental illness and religious intolerance and so on. So we got plenty to talk about. We've got 2 hours, so let's go for it.
Well, we haven't got 2 hours, but
I know. But
you know, the interesting thing is you're describing perhaps what we could see as an imbalance here. And some listeners might have caught some television footage early today of those police who were there, battering down the door of that Christian protester, who perhaps is worthy of arrest if they've been violent and done those things. But as you say, there's a dozen police turning up to arrest the first of those rioters, but there was no action taken when the when those violent scenes were there on Sydney Opera House. Hey, come back to this tribalisation of society, and you talk about this in your latest article, David. Because the thought that we, and let's put ourselves all in the picture here, will often look to find the evidence for our own prejudices. This seems to be the way the tribalization works.
Yeah, it does. And I think Christians should really avoid it, because the ultimate anti-tribalization is to say, in the words of Revelation 7, that there'll be people from every tribe in heaven. But tribalization means in the context of staying in your own little group. And the irony is that social media or the internet was supposed to help us to break out. But because of algorithms, it means if you're basically anti-Jewish, you are going to get algorithms on Sunday morning saying it was Jewish terrorism. If you're anti-Muslim, you're going to get algorithms saying that. There's a danger it can reinforce that. And one of the things I think you and I need to be careful of, even in Christian radio, we need to recognize there's a bigger picture that Christians gets things wrong as well. So, for example, one of the ways to counteract the tribalism is the security guard who was stabbed. He was a Muslim. Now, make it more complex, he was an Ahmadi Muslim who left Pakistan because he was being persecuted by other Muslims. You know, so he's actually a refugee from Islamic oppression, but he himself isn't a Muslim. I know the Ahmadis because in two places I've lived, I've had Ahmadi Muslims as my neighbors. And I think from a Christian perspective, I want to look at everyone and say, first of all, they're human. That 16-year-old boy who stabbed the bishop, he's a kid who allegedly has been influenced by media and so on. So I think we treat people as everyone as human beings. But at the same time, we do, as far as I can see, what Bishop Emmanuel did, which was we can criticize the philosophies and the religions and the ideas, but we must never demonize people. That, for me, is very important.
It does appear to me, in just the few things that I've read of comments made by the bishop, he appears to be a very wise Christian leader with a real maturity there. And yes, as you say, there'll be those who might be his critics too. Come back to the broader issues involved here, both of what happened in Bondi Junction and also at the church attack, but you're conscious too that we've got to be very cautious about how we speak about mental health, because very easy to stigmatize people who have mental health again. Any thoughts here?
Yeah, so I mean, I have a particular concern about this, because I think mental health is going to be the big issue in Australian culture over the next 5 years or so. And I think there are lots of problems. That one is how we help people with mental health. So someone who has schizophrenia needs, as the attacker allegedly does, well, I don't think it's allegedly, I think it is well known he did, needs proper care. He doesn't need to be living in a car in a city that's not his home city, going on social media, advertising himself as a male escort stroke prostitute, probably, it seems, getting immensely frustrated at women. There are people who wonder whether there was a strong misogynistic aspect, and there may well have been. But the bottom line does appear to be that it was a mental health issue, and we need to think about what we're going to do with that. I also think that people with broken minds, maybe a society which glamorizes sex and violence isn't the best place to grow up in. You know, he obviously had an obsession with knives. And I just think that as Christians, we need to think about this a whole lot more. Around, you know, make it personal, around my church, I'll go out and sit and have a coffee, and we're near an area of urban deprivation, or we're in an area of urban deprivation, and people will walk past, and I won't say what they say because they're swearing like troopers, but you can see that they're, in their heads, they're not right. You can't just go up and say, look, hey, can you tone it down a bit? Shouting words like that in the middle of the street doesn't really help. you would fear of being attacked yourself. And so I'm thinking about this all the time, because I'm thinking, how can I help these people? People whose brains have been addled by drink and drugs, and who are very influenced by media whilst they themselves are not that well. I mean, it's a huge issue.
And of course, this feeds into, doesn't it, our mission, which is to bring the good news. The good news sets us free from those things that will be exacerbated by sinful activity, and becoming a part of a organization, and let's call it the body of Christ, the church, where you can rub shoulders with others and begin to think right, because not thinking right is a real challenge as where we go as we more secularize and people distance themselves from our Christian foundations. Hey, let me ask you about gun control, because a lot of people are saying, well, these are knife attacks we're talking about. If they were gun attacks, there's even those who say, well, if everyone had a gun, well, maybe these things wouldn't have happened. But my suspicion is the opposite is true. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm certain the opposite is true. I mean, the United States, as you know, has very lax gun laws, and there were 40,000 gun deaths. You know, I think proportionally you would have the same thing in Australia if that, after the Port Arthur massacre, I think the legislation that was brought in then was incredibly wise, the severe limitation on automatic weapons. I mean, if that man had an automatic weapon, how many more people would have died? You know, but and the idea is that if we were all going shopping armed, if I go to any of the shopping centers and everyone around me is wearing a gun, you are kidding me. You know, that doesn't make me feel any safer whatsoever. And I think one of the things that's demonstrated, by the way, and as I wrote in the article, there were positive things about what happened at the weekend, and also with the bishop stabbing. I know that sounds strange to say that, but I thought the heroism of some of the people involved, including the police officer and including the two men who did their best to hold the man back, I think that was marvellous. And to be honest, I think Bishop Emmanuel's plea this morning to his own community not to disobey the law and expressing his forgiveness for his assailant, I think those are both beautiful things.
And of course, in the church attack, clearly there were some very brave parishioners too, who were able to get on top of the situation quickly and perhaps saved more people in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a recording, and I think it's been verified, of the teenager saying, you know, he insulted my prophet Muhammad. I'll tell you this, I feel this personally, because I would publicly critique Islam. I do so. I don't think Bishop Emmanuel has said anything on that particular subject that I wouldn't say. And that does make you think. It does make you reconsider. And I think it makes organizations think as well. And I think there are enormous pressures on us to tone down what we're saying. Ironically, in my own country, or my home country, Scotland, they've just passed a law which would make it extremely difficult for me to criticize Islam, because I'd be called Islamophobic. Our society is going in dangerous. We should be free to differences that are incredibly deep and personal to us, without the threat of being knifed or being locked up.
And of course, we'd know that Islam is against anyone being a critic, and especially a critic of the Prophet Muhammad. And there's this fear and intimidation. And as you say, there's all sorts of dimensions that takes too. It could be, in fact, made the law that you can't say something that might be perceived to be Islamophobic. But there's also this whole mob mentality that's beyond the law. If you start saying those things, someone will come out of the shadows and you'll be under attack yourself. I imagine that we ought not to stop talking about the issues, and even if that involves a public critique. Any thoughts here? Because some will be feeling like, well, maybe we shouldn't talk about this sort of thing, because that'll get us into deep water.
Yeah, I think my view is I would always speak of people. I hope I would always speak of people. Sometimes I maybe get it wrong, with, you know, respectfully as human beings made in the image of God. But I would always reserve the right to criticize ideologies. So we had, I had a woman who came on and she said, you know, explain it to me like a four-year-old. How is criticizing Islam not terrorism? Now she said that. So she said, explain it to me as though I'm a four-year-old. So I replied, it was a bit cheeky. I said, dear four-year-old, I'm quoting this from memory, so I think I've got it right. I said, dear four-year-old, disagreeing with somebody else is not terrorism. It's what we call being an adult. And when you grow up, you'll be able to comment sensibly on this. But the idea that preaching Christ is terrorism, that's appalling. But there are people who believe that, you know.
Hey, Dave, you won't be in the conversation that's coming over the next hour ahead. But we're going to be jumping into some deep waters. And just to put you on the spot and put you in the deep end here, we're going to be talking about defending ourselves as Christians, because now that there's been an attack in a Christian church, there may be other potential attacks in Christian churches that may be to come. And we're going to be talking about what you do in the event that there is an incident like this happens in your church. Any thoughts here? I know this is a big and deep issue, and there are some philosophical and theological dimensions here that some might disagree with, but have you had any thoughts along these lines?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been involved in a number of controversial meetings, and one time I was speaking in a church and this man stood up and started shouting at me. He asked me a question, and I was thankful the church was packed, and he started coming towards me, you know, fist clenched. He was going to hit me, and thankfully he was at the back of the room, and I asked him to stay where he was, and I would explain something else. And I thought, if he comes up to me, what do I hit him? You know, do I turn the other cheek or what? Now, I think sometimes we will need restraint. I think we need to use the law. I think the Apostle Paul used the law when he appealed to the Emperor Caesar. So I think as Christians, we turn the other cheek. As citizens, we seek to protect not just ourselves, but other people by upholding the law. So I think that those are the parameters within which I would seek to do it. Don't seek personal revenge, but use the law and take appropriate safety measures as well.
Wonderful insights as always, David Robertson. And you've written an article, and listeners might want to check the article that you've written and catch some more of the detail. It's been published by ChristianToday.com. It's entitled Back-to-Back Tragedies in Australia Give Pause for Thought. And David Robertson is a minister these days at Scots Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle, New South Wales. And, of course, you can also check out his insights at his insightful blog called theweflee.com. David, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us once again today on 2020.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.